We Like Dota, episode 23, starts now.
Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast, where we like to sound like we know what we're talking about, but we really don't. We do not. I am Brian Sabonyinger, and joining me this evening is the triumphant return, yet again, of Jared Clyde Frog Pedersen.
Hey, Brian.
How you doing, Jared?
Doing wonderful.
And also joining us this evening...
Way to wait, Ben.
...is Dota 2's original curmudgeon and troll... Ben Yadneb Day.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Jared.
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing just dandy.
Great. I waited this time, Jared.
I know. I'm very proud of you.
It was hard.
Are we going to acknowledge the fact that we're doubling episoding this?
Yeah. Okay. So this, if you're listening to this right now, a week ago, we recorded two episodes back to back because I am currently on vacation.
Everyone's very excited that
When you're listening to this,
I'm on vacation.
Unless you're watching it on Twitch right now live, because we're doing that again.
Yeah.
So we're doing that.
Right.
And I don't know how connected I am to the We Like Dota community at that time, so regardless, I apologize.
It's fine. You need a vacation, brother.
You guys will get over it, and we'll have a fun time when I get back.
You need a vacation.
Also, the ESL 1 finals are happening at this time.
I am so excited about this, by the way.
Things are happening.
Frankfurt!
Yes. Things are happening, and I don't know what happened, but I can't wait.
I'll text you, don't you worry.
Okay, perfect.
Well, it already happened. Whatever happened already, right?
Yeah, actually.
Yes.
Yep.
It's like a Star Trek episode.
So congrats to the winners of that event.
Spoiler alert.
You know who you are.
Yeah, we're very proud of you.
All right. So do we talk about who'd you play? Because it would be the same as last week.
I'd like to talk about who I'd like to play.
Oh, yes. Let's do that. That's brilliant. Let's talk about who'd you like to play.
Thank you.
Who do you anticipate playing this week that we're talking about?
Undying, obviously. I think Doom. Doom is my current hero of the week on my compendium.
Doom counters heroes.
Interesting.
Doom counters everyone.
Yeah, Doom is just, it's that thing. It's Doom.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm interested to just kind of mess around and see what happens.
Sure.
Yeah.
In what capacity? Offlaner, support, carry?
Probably either offlaner support, because that's normally what I play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean... Probably semi-jungle Doom, just Perfect. Because it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Ben, what about you?
I'm not really sure. I'm going to be on vacation.
Staycation.
Staycation this week. So I will be here in the lovely land of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
I'm sure I'll play some video games. I'm not sure what I'm going to play. I'll probably play a little bit of Dota. Probably play, see what the daily hero challenge sends my way.
Right, not TA. That.
Hopefully not TA. Yeah, I'm done with playing TA. That's over. But I'm not really sure. Probably play some Viper, some Luna, that type of thing.
Okay.
Yep. Your favorites.
Who do I want to play, King. Jared? Have I talked about wanting to play anybody? More Morana.
Sure.
I've really been enjoying playing Enchantress lately.
Okay.
Interesting. I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Enchantress.
Yeah, you seem a little...
Okay.
She's great.
It's okay. It's fine.
Wait, what do you mean? Let's talk about this.
I got the same impression.
A little, you know.
Yeah.
Perfect. Whatever. I don't know who else I want to play necessarily.
Yeah, a little bit.
I wish I had prepared who I would like to play.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know that you don't well with getting questions sprung on you.
I think...
Because you're a very contemplative person.
Oh, thank you. Witch Doctor.
Okay.
Witch Doctor.
Okay.
And you know why? Because I love seeing all those quad kills with the Death Ward.
That thing is pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh. And if you buy Ags, it starts bouncing.
That's nuts.
It's incredible.
It's unreal.
Yeah. So Ben, I know this doesn't apply to Jared quite as much, but Ben, the Steam Summer Sale...
Right, because I have a baby.
Is still occurring, and it's practically a national holiday.
I think it is, actually.
And...
I've seen people talking about it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is a thing, from what I've told.
Yes.
Facebook is a thing.
And I want to talk briefly about some of the games that we've been buying. And I have been buying Call of Juarez Gunslinger, which I'm told...
What the hell is this thing?
It's like a Western first-person shooter.
It's pretty good, actually.
With some of the commentary style of Bastion.
Interesting.
Yes.
So it has a narration aspect.
Yes,
to it.
I'm excited
for this. I've been finishing up Transistor, which was from the same developer.
I hope that goes on sale, because I want it.
It started off a little slow, but I'm getting close to the end, and the story kind of picks up a little bit. Yeah. I won't say anything about it, but I'm really enjoying it.
You should. We share libraries, so I can
this
just
This is on my PlayStation 4, which you do not own.
No! Dang it!
Right.
Oh, that's disappointing.
You don't have that.
You don't have a PS4.
I do not. And I bought some DLC for Borderlands 2,
okay,
which I'm excited about. And I bought Grid 2, which is a racing game. I like racing games.
Okay.
And some other crap. I don't think it matters. I don't know what else I bought. Ben, what have you been picking up?
I've bought nothing on Steam.
Wow.
Which we talked about last episode. He is not paying attention today. Have you noticed this?
Well, I think that since this is technically a different episode, I think that...
to refresh. So this is for the rest of the Steam sale. I bought 3 games. I don't know what the games' names are, but I'll get them for the following week.
Well, you know, with the...
So you're planning on buying 3 games right now. That's what you're saying.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Well, you know, with the trading...
You know what I thought about buying? Okay. The Stanley Parable.
Oh, yeah.
That looks pretty interesting.
Well, you know, with the trading cards that you get, you have an opportunity to get Dota 2 items from buying Steam games.
Okay.
You got to combine the cards into a badge. Interesting.
I have a backlog of about 200 Steam games at the moment, so I don't know if I need any more Steam games.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's intense. That would be intimidating
too many.
To me.
And Ben, it is. It's like I'm just done. I'm out.
Yeah, no, totally.
Ben, you and I
never beat all those games.
We share Steam libraries, and it's more of a...
You have access to mine. Yes. I don't have access to yours.
It's more of a parasitic relationship.
It's more like, it's more like you're stealing my library.
Once I get over to your house and log in, you need to play the Walking Dead, the Telltale Adventure series.
I own that game myself already.
You do? Is it on your PS4?
I played like 3... No, it's on my PC.
Okay. Do you have Season 2?
No, I haven't finished Season 1.
Okay, I've got Season 2, Ben. You can play it.
Perfect. I won't buy that.
Yeah. It's really good.
Found something.
Okay, let's talk about the dotes.
Sure.
Guys.
Yeah, let's get back into the dote world.
Okay.
So I can talk again.
Right. So, something that I've been noticing on some of the threads on the We Like Dota subreddit.
We have a subreddit. Wow.
We do. reddit.com/r/WeLikeDota.
Nice plug.
Is... There are a particular group of heroes that are really popular at lower skill brackets.
Well, that is true, though. I mean, that's 100%
true. Your Pudge and your Rickies and your Spirit Breakers and all those?
Yep. Exactly.
Bloodseeker.
Yep. Bloodseeker.
So we're going to spend... Sniper. There's a nice guide on DotaFire.com, which is kind of a website where you can go for guides on how to do heroes and stuff. And I used to use this website somewhat, but I've really started to not use it really at all.
I'm sold. Yeah, you seem pretty convinced that that's the place.
Yeah, everyone's really excited about this now.
It's good for a
starting really,
point.
You really sold it.
Yeah. But this guide, I mean, it's mostly they mostly do hero guides, but this is kind of a different guide. So it's about how to beat these heroes by adjusting your item builds, adjusting your play style, not necessarily...
Your hero.
Right. Not necessarily a strong hero counter.
So you're looking at using item. You're in the situation. What do you do about it now?
Right. You have that guy that waited until 5 seconds after the horn blows to pick his hero, and now you're laning against him.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can't counter pick him.
Okay.
Right.
So there's... This guide covers Ricky, Bloodseeker, Sniper, Husker, Viper, Drow Ranger, Zeus, and Pudge. And
are we going to cover all those?
I don't think we're going to cover
all
of them.
I think
either.
That's wise.
So the first one is Ricky, which
is a pretty easy counter.
You'll
in my
run
opinion.
Into Ricky a lot. Yeah, he's a very easy counter.
So buy wards and buy dust.
And
are
you,
the,
and
right?
You
I mean, that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So
yeah, pretty much.
Buy wards, buy dust.
Or a gem if you've got somebody who wants to buy a gem.
Well,
and you don't die.
And you don't die, yeah.
Well, the big issue that people have problems with Ricky is his ultimate is permanent invisibility.
Right.
Which actually is a pretty bad ultimate.
Because not at low skill level.
Bounty Hunter...
Not in general,
at max level, Bounty Hunter's E lets him stay invisible permanently for the most part.
But you have to spend mana on it.
That's true. It's not a lot, though.
I think the thing with invisibility that you have to keep in mind is it does force the other team to play differently.
Yeah.
And so you spend money.
You can counter it, but it does cost to counter it. And I think that's in it. It forces you to think about everything you're doing differently. So you have to be able to capitalize on the fact that they're playing a little differently, but I think anything that changes how the other team plays
is not a bad thing. Can be an
effective strategy.
So. Right, right.
I think the thing that makes him really dangerous, though, is his smoke screen, which prevents you from... It's basically an AoE, a big AoE silence.
Right.
That's a nice ability. Yeah.
You also...
It's really nice.
You have decreased movement speed in it as well.
Yeah.
But really, I think the way that you beat Ricky is by, as Ben said, you buy sentry wards, you buy dust. Silencing him works really well because you silence him and it stops...
The smoke screen from coming out.
Stops the smoke screen, but it also stops the permanent invisibility. And when he's...
Really? The silence does?
Oh, yeah. Because it silences his ultimate, right?
Yeah.
It's not an active. It's a passive.
It still silences him. I didn't know that.
If you silence him, he becomes visible.
I learned something new today.
Weird.
So, okay. Silencer works really well against him. An Orchid works really well against him.
Right. I did not know that, Brian.
Any single target stuns work really well against him as well. Basically, you just want to focus him down. In team fights, because he doesn't necessarily...
You have to be able to see him, and then you kill him. I think that's what it boils down to.
Yep.
Makes sense.
All right. You guys okay with moving on?
Hate viewers, new record. Somebody else said that on Twitch chat.
Said what?
They've already picked... They said 8 viewers, new record.
Right.
It is.
Viewers, really?
It is a new record. You're right, guys.
For any consolation prize, we do have over 200 people that listen to the podcast.
That's so true.
That's a plus. Yeah.
You're all making We Like Dota history.
Right. But this is the first time
we've part of history.
All right, let's talk about Bloodseeker.
Okay. Bloodseeker.
And this is a topic that has been...
Highly, highly contested.
Highly contested and somewhat debated on the We Like Dota subreddit is the viability of Bloodseeker. And I am not a huge fan of Bloodseeker because due to his abilities, you really have to rely on your opponents to screw up.
But they do that a lot at our... Because, again, just to clarify, we are low skill level.
We're bad. And when you're bad, you screw up all the time.
I see the people I play with, when they're playing against the Bloodseeker, they just run, and they just run, and they just die because of Rupture.
Right.
And I think that's just...
Let's talk about how his Rupture works first.
Let's go ahead and tell me, yeah.
So this is his ultimate go.
So his Rupture, it's you just cast it, you click R, you press R, you click on the person you want to cast it on, and it does HP removal, which is a specific kind of damage that I believe only Bloodseeker has.
I would not swear by that.
It's not physical, it's not magical, it's not pure damage.
It's a unique type of damage.
Right.
Yeah. It goes through armor and all that.
It goes through everything.
It just takes it away. Yep.
So it removes HP based on how much you move.
Right.
So if Bloodseeker casts this on you, immediately press, and I learned this, press S to stop. Don't click somewhere else to move and stop. Click S. That'll stop your dude from moving.
Well, because S is the cancel animation button.
The default stop button. We'll get to this later.
Yeah, if you've modified S to be something else, then
don't
you're screwed
that.
By listening to his
don't
advice.
Hit that, because that's going to be a different ability.
Right.
S for stop.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, S for stop. So, and it's kind of tough, because if he casts this on you, you have nowhere to go, so he just comes up and starts banging on you.
Right.
So, if you're caught out one-on-one against Bloodseeker...
The good news is...
You're kind of screwed. But...
Well, he doesn't hit super hard initially.
That's exactly
correct.
It.
Correct.
That's
so exactly you can it. TP away, no problem.
And he doesn't have a stun.
He doesn't have a stun, so he can't stop a TP. So, basically, the biggest counter to Bloodseeker that we have found is a TP scroll.
Just teleport out of there.
Yeah.
Or, if I have a Bloodseeker, if I even have... I mean, we've all had games where you have Pudge, Ricky, Bloodseeker, and Sniper. You win by team fighting.
Right, yeah.
You just do five-man team fighting.
You can force it a little earlier just because they're really good at picking people off one-on-one. And you don't wander off in the jungle by yourself.
Yeah.
And I mean, you just have to be smart about the decisions
you're making.
Because Bloodseeker, when any of the heroes that Bloodseeker is playing against drops below 50% of their health, he instantly gets vision of them.
Right.
Correct.
So if you drop below 50% health, he knows where you're going to be, and he really punishes you
for being out of position.
For being out of position,
having low health.
Right. So keep your health up and have a TP scroll with you at all times, and just don't get out of position.
Also, don't feed him.
Don't, yes, don't feed him. He really relies on snowballing and getting kills early. So just don't do those things and you'll be fine.
So what do you, there's really not much you can do if your teammates are doing that, if you're like in a pub match, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, at that point you just
move on to the next match.
Deal with it. But yeah, you can tell people by TPs and explain to them that counter. I think that's probably about what you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and even just encourage team fighting, I think, is a good way to go.
Yeah, his agi game is actually pretty good, so, I mean...
What is it?
3.
Okay. Is he... He's a strength hero, though, isn't he?
No, he's an agility base, I think.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, he's an agility base.
Okay. Interesting.
So his attack speed's going to get quicker,
yeah,
is what I'm basically saying.
Yeah.
As it gets further, so...
I do think he's... Out of all the heroes on this list, he's one of the more viable heroes, I think. You see him get picked in pro matches every once in a while.
You do see him a little bit. He gets some play.
Yeah.
As much as Sniper, in my opinion.
Right. Speaking of Sniper...
Yeah, I would say about on par.
So we're going to talk about Sniper. Yeah, I think the biggest issue with Sniper... Well, he's kind of got a couple things going.
He's got the biggest range in the game.
He's got tons of range. The range is so high, in fact, that he can stand out of tower range and shoot it.
Right.
So he can take down
towers. He outranges towers.
Right.
Just him and Lina are the only two.
Yeah. And he does have that nice mini bash.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the proc chance is that at max level, but it's like 25% or something.
It's pretty high.
It's pretty high.
It's pretty high.
So he does have that, and he does have Assassinate, which does a decent amount of
magical damage.
From what we learned last episode.
Right.
And he has the shrapnel, which does...
which can damage towers.
It gives vision, damages towers, you know, does some damage.
Which
and,
is nice.
Provides a movement slow, I believe.
I believe so.
So, really, and you really see a lot of newer players struggling against Sniper. And you see Sniper mid a lot.
Right.
And you see Sniper just auto-attacking creeps
a lot.
Yeah. Because I think his projectile is instant, right?
Yeah, it's a zero cast range, I'm pretty sure.
Which is kind of nice.
Cast point, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. So I think my favorite way to counter Sniper is with positioning. Because he's
in team fights. Well, that's how you do it, yeah.
In team fights, he's always going to be kind of hanging on the back lines, you know, just right-clicking and taking people down.
Right.
If the person playing Sniper knows what they're doing.
Right.
So my favorite way to counter Sniper is with Vengeful Spirit. Mm-hmm. Which I know we said we weren't necessarily talking about
hero specifics.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about items, two items that are going to help out, Blink Dagger and Force Staff.
Right. Because you can, especially Blink Dagger, you can just blink in and...
If you want to get on top of him.
Yeah.
Now, if you're talking about a Force Staff... Right. If you're talking about a Force Staff, you can actually then force him into the fights.
Correct.
Which might be beneficial.
Yeah. So if you have a Blink Dagger, especially like on someone like Wraith King, you can blink in,
right,
use that stun, and then you just focus him and you win.
Right. Pretty much, yeah.
And that's about it. A lot of times, there's a lot of hero guides out there that recommend that he buys a Shadow Blade. So make sure if you see that he has a Shadow Blade, buy Dust and Sentries.
Get some Dust and you'll be okay.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Gosh, this is a long article.
Yeah, there was a lot about Sniper.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about Husker?
I don't think he's too bad to actually...
No, let's not talk about Husker.
Okay, Husker.
What about Spirit Breaker? It seems to be somebody that people have a lot of problems
Husker,
with.
Husker, silence him and get blade mail.
Spirit Breaker's actually not on there.
Oh, he's not? I think Spirit Breaker would be one to talk about.
Let's talk about Spirit Breaker.
Uh-oh.
How do you beat him, Ben?
How do you beat him?
I think vision and awareness is one thing.
Team
so you have
fighting.
To make sure that you know. Yeah, again, it's, I mean, we talked about team fighting, but knowing where he's at, you can actually stun him out of his charge as well, I believe.
So yes, you can.
That's one option if you have some people who can stun.
And his ultimate has a huge cast animation. So, like, if you have, again, like you said, a stun that you can stun him with, you can stun him out of that.
Right. And you know if he's missing, he's probably coming for you. So just get by the tower. I mean, you do what you can to counter that once they come. So
map awareness, I think, is the biggest counter for him.
Right.
I'm reading that the sniper headshot proc is 40% at every level.
Right. You guys got called out. I didn't even hear
that's
that question.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. We should get called out.
That's fine.
I don't know what that is off the top of my head.
Yeah. That's pretty high, though.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Spirit Breaker, he really relies on not having team fights and really getting kills early on.
Yeah. He's a snowball guy.
Yeah. Viper, a popular carry that Ben likes to play.
I do like playing Viper, yeah.
How do you beat Viper, Ben, since you play him a lot?
Well, I think because he's a carry, you want to shut him down pretty early, for sure. But I think...
he's slow, first off. Yeah,
honestly, I tend to have success, so I don't usually have a lot of issues.
You're just really good at this game.
I don't know about that. But with Viper, though, I mean,
you have been really good
at Viper. I don't struggle with Viper a whole lot. Phase boots tend to take care of the fact that he's slow. You don't want him to get farm. You don't want him to get eggs. So if you can avoid that, then, and you know, that's important. But I think, I mean, obviously, like anybody, if you focus him down, he's not somebody you can't kill. You can obviously kill Viper. So if you take Viper out pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't do AoE damage that much, really. I mean, he's really more of a going to knock down somebody's single target. So
Or at all.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, depending on the items he got, I mean, there might be a way that he could do that. But, I mean, he tends to be, you know, going to take down one person. So I think if you get some tankier heroes and you don't give him
AoE damage.
What's that?
AoE damage.
To take down Viper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You can do that, or just people who have a little bit of sustainability so he can't take down one target, you're going to be fine.
Well,
yeah.
I think if you're talking kind of in the laning phase / one-on-one phase, the biggest issues that you're going to run into with Viper is he has no escape.
Right.
And his movement speed is really slow.
Yeah, you can definitely...
It's like 285 or something like that.
If he gets greedy, you can get him. I mean, I think that's what it boils down to.
I think only, Crystal Maiden's 280, and that's it. So, 285s. Mm-hmm. Like, Jakiro and...
Usually, if Viper initiates on you...
Shadow Shamans.
You can either teleport out or just die.
Outrun him.
Right.
Or outrun him. Well, he does... His poison attack and his Viper strike...
It has a slow.
So... If you have a four staff, you can definitely get away.
That's the biggest thing I've noticed against a Viper is what to have as a four staff.
But a lot of people aren't going to build a four staff because they're not intelligence.
I love four staffs.
It is nice. I prefer Yules.
I know you do. We've had this discussion.
Yules and run.
You'll be right. But you're slowed.
Right. Drow Ranger.
Okay.
Anything that applies to Sniper applies to Drow Ranger, because her ultimate goes away when you stand next to her.
Right, get close to her, basically.
Blink on top, click to win.
Right. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zeus? I haven't seen a lot of Zeus lately.
No.
We had even some of our in-house matches that we had with the community, there was some Zeus going on. I think, again... Don't sit around with low health. I think that's what it boils down to. That's the mistake a lot of people make.
He punishes you for playing at low
health. If you sit there too long with low health, he's going to eventually just luck out and get some kills. I think you just need to make sure that your health pool is a little higher than you would normally. So,
also, between the five people on your team, buy a Pipe of Insight, buy a Hood of Defiance on some heroes, and a BKB. If you buy a BKB, he's not going to do jack against you.
Well, right. As long as you activate it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and he doesn't even have, like, a ton of team fight either.
No.
It's not really there.
So,
yeah, and they always go for Ag Scepter and Refresher Orb.
As you should.
And, well, I think with Lich especially, it's nice to go for a Veil of Discord. You're going to get way more value out of that.
I agree with that.
You get almost the same amount of value out of it, but with half Zeus, gold, it's a little different because that ultimate is global.
Right.
But I think as Zeus, you'd want to be going Veil of Discord anyway.
You would go Veil on Zeus?
I think so. I think so.
Well, it just depends. Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it's a bad option for him.
So. You love Veil?
Yeah. I do. I really do.
I mean, I guess you can make that argument with anybody who does a lot of magic damage, that Veil is going to be a good option for you.
Exactly.
Okay, Pudge. We all see a ton of Pudge.
Yeah, no matter what skill bracket you're in.
Yeah.
In pubs, you're going to see a lot of Pudge.
I mean, people just fail to ward. I think that's going to be if you don't see him coming, if he's missing, then you just have to kind of assume he's in your lane.
Similarly to
Spirit Breaker, you know, if he's missing... Keep the creeps between you and the jungle. I think that's the big thing, is just stay on the side where he can't get you with one of those hooks. I think that's a big part of it.
Because if he tries to throw his hook and you're standing near creeps, he's most likely going to grab a creep.
You're protected by that.
Yeah, they're between them. Right.
So look out for that. And then also, as we've said earlier, team fight. Pudge brings zero team fight to the table.
Yeah, he has zero team fight.
Whatsoever. And it's terrible.
His move speed's pretty slow, too, isn't it?
Sure.
I honestly don't know.
I'm sure one of our esteemed Twitch viewers will let us know.
Yes, absolutely. Ben, let us know in 2 minutes.
Yes. 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
Is it a 20-second delay? Yeah.
20 seconds. Okay, even better.
This guide says Pudge will always lose the mid lane to any hero, which...
I don't know.
That's a little overarching, I think. That's a little bit of a bold statement.
A good Pudge player can win lanes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But he really relies on like hitting level 6 and then just like going out and trying to get kills.
Right. He's definitely that guy that snowballs and goes crazy.
Okay, his movement speed is 285.
Ha ha! What up?
Which is like Crystal Maiden territory.
280, I think she is.
Swift as the wolves of Icerac.
Which obviously have two limbs or something.
Yeah. So yeah, just warding and positioning with Pudge is going to be the biggest deal.
Like the wheel for the back feet.
Right. Yeah, and there's even, like, if you go out to Google and look for, like, Pudge, you can look for, like, common Pudge spots where Pudge will hide.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So if you can ward up those spots, and you'll be golden.
It's true.
You'll be golden.
Throw down the wards.
Throw down the wards,
I think that's
folks.
What it boils down to.
Wards
it's just
win games.
A lot of these heroes, it's about awareness, and it's just about real basic reactions to what... It's just knowing what they do and then not buying into what they do.
Right, right, yeah.
I think that's the big mistake. Team fighting, yeah.
Ganking mid.
For the most part, yeah, I agree.
Gank the crap out of them.
All right, so that's kind of the end of the guide.
Okay.
All right, so I'll put a link for that up on...
Reddit in 2 weeks?
Up on Reddit. Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know. I'll put it up at the end of this week.
Oh.
So that as you're...
Controversial.
Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Sure. You'll find it somewhere on the subreddit.
This is going to be a total disaster. He's going to forget.
I could get one of the 5 people around me who, quote-unquote, support and help me with the show.
Who is he talking about?
What are you saying, Brian?
I'm not saying anything. Okay.
I'm going to go home into my baby and my work.
Yeah, no, you're excused, but we also have field studies and Kyle.
I think he's basically talking about me.
I am talking about you, Ben.
Oh, okay.
Field studies does excellent work. Kyle has a sprained ankle from playing disc golf.
Does he now?
He does.
What a wuss.
Poor Kyle.
Well, he should be perfect to type something up on
the
internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Kyle, we need you.
All right, we're going to move on to the hero of the week. The hero of the week is Viper.
Hey. We just talked about
convenience.
Him.
Convenience. We just talked about
right. Do we want to do that again?
Yeah, we do.
The positive realm this time.
Let me do this because we did get some comments, and I unfortunately deleted the comment, but I think it was from Onerism. He made the argument that he feels like Viper drops off late game. I don't know if you guys feel the same. I said I don't know if I really agree with that, but what do you guys think?
I think he does.
Depending on his item build, I
think
he would.
45-minute mark, he does.
Yeah.
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 I agree with that to a certain extent. I don't think you want to go in super late. My argument was if you get a Mac and you get a
an Ags
on him and then you kind of tackle that with a butterfly from the kills that you hopefully did get, I think you're fine at that point. I haven't had any problems.
Yeah, your right-click will be decent.
Your right-click's
decent. And you're going to have so many slows that are coming out.
And then the sustainability there. Like, they just can't kill him at that point.
Right,
I think that's where he gets really hard to kill because he's probably more naturally tanky than a lot of other carries.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So I think, and with the mech and everything, he just gets kind of... He's rough to take down at that point. So
I agree.
I think he's... And I think there is some truth that he drops off, but I think what you do is you buy time for your number two, or if you've still got another person who's number one. I feel like Viper sets up your hard carry so well to be successful, because they're worried about
his
Viper.
His early and mid-game is just...
It's so out of control. And you're so worried about Viper that by the time you've finally figured out that he's an issue, the other guy's online. I think he buys time for your other carry to come online and then start to wreck people, and I think that's really where he comes in handy. So even if he falls off, if you usually run him mid, I don't think it becomes actually an issue because he's
hopefully you have another carry.
Hopefully your other carry is performing. So
yeah hopefully your other carry is in silencer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully your other carry is not silenced.
So let's...
But somebody should be in the safe lane getting the farm, right?
Right, that is in silencer.
And if you've been ganking and stuff, you should be fine. You've apparently had issues with silencer.
I don't think that he's a hard carry.
Well, I don't see him that way either, necessarily.
He's getting run a little bit that way. But anyway, continue.
He does, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let's talk about what role and like what kind of lane you want to run him in. What do you typically do, Ben?
Almost always mid. I think 90% of the time I like to run a mid just because he's hard to deal with mid in some ways.
Yeah.
he's a lane dominator as well.
He's a lane dominator.
There are a couple of heroes that are kind of that thing where they can take over a lane, and I think that he's definitely one of them. That it a lot of times if you're playing whoever you're up against in mid, you're going
to
win the lane.
You tend to win the lane, and I think you know once he gets his ultimate, he tends to be able to gank pretty easily, and I think that's pretty nice. So I think at that point, it's just, you know, I just have had success snowballing at that point.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Get those first few kills, you're already dominating your lane.
Right.
And again, you're buying time. So I think mid is his best spot.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's talk about his... I do think you can put him into almost any lane.
No, I agree. His inherent tankiness with his... we'll get into his abilities here in a second with Corrosive Skin. He can offlane with it.
Yeah. I don't think you want to be putting him in safe lane, though, because he does so well in mid and offlane.
Right.
I think you'd be robbing somebody else of the safe lane.
If you're not planning on... If you're planning on winning by 25, 30 minutes, put him in the safe lane, and you're going to be... It's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing a game where Na'Vi ran it in the safe lane and Havost played it.
Yeah.
You know, that guy can freaking farm anything.
He's like one of the greediest carries out there. It's great.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not even kidding you. It was like 17-0-7 in like 25 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about his skills. His Q is Poison Attack, intensifies Viper's Venom, adding an attack to his normal attack that slows attack and movement speed while dealing damage over time. Poison Attack is a unique attack modifier and does not stack with other unique attack modifiers, which is not necessarily true. If you right-click on it to make it auto-cast, it does become a unique attack modifier that does not stack with other unique attack modifiers. But if you just use it as a Q, it kind of turns into how like Maelstrom or Mjolnir works.
Right.
Where if you have a Desolator and you press Q and you manually cast it, the poison attack will override the Desolator.
Right.
I believe that's how that works.
I think.
Maybe, yeah. But I don't think you want to pick up an item that has a unique attack modifier.
No.
I don't think it's worth it to really manipulate that.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that.
No, absolutely not. I think that building anything that, like armor items on him, is just definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HP items.
Okay, so this does zero damage initially, but it does damage over time. It lasts 2 seconds. It does 10, 16, 22, and 28 damage over time. The move slow is minus 10, minus 20, 30, and 40%. The attack slow is minus 10, 20, 30, and 40.
Okay.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think, yeah.
The cooldown is zero at all levels, which he was recently changed. Not recently. I think it was in 6.79. Where it was changed to where the cooldown for it was 0 seconds. Because I believe it was once you hit like level 3 or 4 with it is when it hit
the zero seconds.
Yeah. So there's that. That's kind of one of his trademark abilities, I would say.
Right. No, I agree. It's one that can really...
You can really use this to harass like crazy in lanes.
Right. Especially, early game in the mid lane, you want to use it to harass occasionally. And then obviously it's very helpful as you're going to gank as well.
Yeah. Okay. His W is a passive called Nether Toxin. Nether Toxin causes Viper's normal attack to deal bonus damage to units based on how much health they are missing. The bonus damage doubles for each 20% of health missing from the target. Nether Toxin deals half damage to creeps and buildings.
Oh, that's nice.
So the base bonus damage is 2.5, 5, 7.5, and 10.
10
non-hero damage is 50% clear across the board. Max bonus damage is 40, 80, 120, and 160. So this...
So if you're dying, you're going to be dying more when I hit
faster.
You.
Yeah,
correct,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's basically what it boils down to.
And it also helps him last hit.
It does, to a certain extent. Yeah, I mean, he's relatively easy to get last hits with, I agree.
Right. His E is another passive called Corrosive Skin. Viper exudes an infectious toxin that damages and slows any enemy that damages it. The acid ex- Exudate also increases Viper's resistance to spells. Duration is 4 seconds. Move slow is 10, 15, 20, and 25%.
Jesus.
Attack slow is minus 10, 15, 20, and 25%. Magic resistance, 10, 15, 20, 25%. Damage over time, 10, 15, 20, and 25.
Okay. And that's where that tankiness kind of comes from a little bit.
Right.
That feeling of having a little bit more tankiness.
Yeah. I really think Corrosive Skin is one of his best abilities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very solid for sure.
Yeah. I like it a lot. And I think I read on the Dota 2 wiki that Corrosive Skin is applied before the attack lands.
Yes.
I think is how that works.
Like in Enchantress is in...
Like at the beginning of the animation versus correct. The end of the animation, correct. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Interesting.
So the second you right-click, it's applied.
Right, that's interesting.
Okay, and his ultimate is Viper Strike. Viper slows the targeted enemy unit's movement and attack speed while also dealing poison damage over time. The slowing effect reduces over the duration of the poison, upgradable by Ag's Scepter. The duration is 5.1 at all levels. The damage over time is 60, 100, and 145, which I would assume that's like it ticks on a per second basis.
Yeah, damage per second.
The move slow is minus 40, 60, and 80. Attack slow is minus 40, 60, and 80. The beauty is with Ag's Scepter, it increases your attack range from 50 to 900. But the big kicker with it is that it reduces the cooldown
to 12 seconds.
You can just cast it and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can spam the heck out of it. Yeah.
It's probably one of the best Ag's Scepter upgrades out there, I think.
Yeah.
It's really good. You can just cast that thing and it just doesn't freaking matter. So
that's nuts.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else to say about Viper.
Well, and I think one of the reasons that he is kind of countered later game is because almost all of his damage is magical.
Yeah.
So once BKBs do start coming out or Lincoln Sphere, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tends to be the thing that would cause him issues for sure.
Yeah.
In terms of the item build, I think I tend to go mech on him first, get the healing.
Yeah.
And then
When you're building mech, let other people know.
Right. Did that happen once or something?
Yes. Is it better? Yes, it does, Ben.
I think for you, you should just assume if I'm playing Viper, I'm building mech.
Yeah, you should always assume that.
Thank you, Jared.
Oh,
thank you so much. It's consistent that I've always built mech.
Common knowledge.
Oh, come on.
Anywho.
Whatever, okay.
Anywho. Continue. But anyways,
you can change up your item build and I wouldn't know about it. Even after I alt-clicked on mechanism to say in chat, I will build mechanism, Ben.
And I said I already built it. I'm Viper. I have 5 kills.
Yeah, jeez.
I think that's pretty much how that conversation went. Anyways,
I would imagine that's true.
Anyway, so you go mech and then you go eggs and then you go... I tend to go butterfly, but you can go something different on that. So,
oh, Heart of Tarrasque, baby.
Yeah, you can go heart. That's fine. I like just getting that damage. So it depends. If I feel like I'm getting targeted a little bit more, I might go.
What boots did you say you buy?
I like phase boots. I like trying to be able to track people down a little faster.
Yeah, I think that helps out with his pretty bad movement speed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And his lack of escape mechanism.
Yeah, he doesn't really have one of those. That's true. I mean, he's got the slow that happens, but that's about it.
Yeah. So do you look into like mana style or anything like that? Have you picked anything like that up on him?
I have tried it. I don't find it to be as effective.
Okay.
So, but I think it's certainly an option. But I think I would probably go a heart before I would go mana.
What about like a Daedalus or anything like that? Do you pick up anything like that, or do you just try and tank up and let kind of the other
unique
carry?
Attack modifiers?
I think I tend to kind of
Daedalus isn't a unique attack modifier, is it?
It's a crit. Yes.
Okay.
I
don't know what I'm doing.
I try to have a successful early and mid game and then kind of, like I said, hope that the rest of my team kind of can catch up and finish things off at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. I'm not sure what else there is to talk about.
Yeah, there really isn't.
I feel like he's one of those heroes that if you're wanting to play a carry or try out the carry position, he's a good guy to pick up, I think.
Yeah, although again, I usually run him mid, so it's a little different than like a safe lane carry role, but you can run him safe lane. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, and I think that Viper is a great pick for countering a lot of heroes.
Correct.
Because he's great at, you know, kiting those people around, like, with his slows. Mm-hmm. He's just great at, yeah.
I would like to point out that mm-hmm. Daedalus is not a unique attack modifier.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
It is not. Daedalus, passive, critical strike, grants a chance to deal critical damage on an attack. Mentions nothing of unique attack modifiers. Finally vindicated.
No, I don't think that's right.
All right, fine. All right, well, while we're at it, we're going to move on to the item of the week.
How's that not a... Okay, anyway.
The item of the week is...
Sorry, you're existing on like 3 hours of sleep. It's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Item of the week is Desolator. Costs 4,100 gold. It consists of 2 mithril hammers and a recipe. It gives you plus 60 damage and minus 7 armor reduction. And it also gives you a passive called Corruption. Your mm-hmm. attacks reduce target's armor for 15 seconds, so that's that minus 7 armor reduction. And it is a unique attack modifier. So yeah, let's talk about Desolator. When do you want to be building Desolator?
When?
Yeah.
I think it's a really good second or third item.
Okay.
Depending on your hero.
Yeah.
It can be a decent item for most right-click carries, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. For heroes that are going to be building a lot of right-click physical damage, like...
Weaver,
much to Ben's chagrin, Templar Assassin.
Right. I buy a Desolator on
Shadow TA Fiend.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because it does give you plus 60 damage, but with that armor reduction, you're just going to be hitting so much harder on top of that. So it's just a really nice pickup. And it does help your other teammates as well, helps them, you know, when you're right-clicking, you know, an enemy, they will also benefit from having that target's armor reduced.
Correct.
And it also, if you're ranged, it makes your attacks sparkle. Which is always a benefit.
Yeah. It's always what you want. The intimidating sparkle.
That's what you're looking for.
It's nice to have your attack sparkle.
Now, one thing that we do want to mention about this is you definitely don't want two of them on a team.
Right. So make sure you communicate with your team and let them know when you're building a Desolator.
Yeah, because the minus armor aura or whatever,
yeah,
it doesn't stack.
Yes.
So
I would like to point out that with mechanism, it's not the end of the world if there are two mechs on a team.
I would agree with
because
that.
Because it's like plus 2 armor is the aura or something like that, or plus 5 or something like that. It's actually not. It's sometimes it can be nice to have two heals.
Right, you're getting 500 health instead of 250.
Right.
I'm sure you did that intentionally.
Absolutely intentionally.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. What else is there to say about Desolator? It's a unique attack modifier, so, you know, if you have something like a Helm of the Dominator or a Mask of Madness, either don't buy Desolator or sell one of those items.
Right.
I love it, though. I think it's a good item. I think it's definitely a go-to item for a lot of
carries. Yeah, this is one of those items, like, especially on, you know, somebody like Shadow Fiend, like, when they pick up Desolator, it's like, okay, ready to fight. Let's go. Let's start pushing.
Right. Some heroes almost need it to really get in there.
Oh, the armor reduction also works on buildings.
Yes.
So it helps with your push a little bit, which is nice. Helps you knock over those towers a little bit quicker.
But yeah.
Yeah, Desolator, you guys. Sparkle.
Don't buy two.
Don't buy two.
It's basically a health potion.
Yes. Okay, since we are pre-recording this, we don't really have noobs ask noobs questions to field.
No.
But I would like to take just a brief couple of minutes and maybe talk about key bindings a little bit.
Oh.
Key bindings.
Interesting. And maybe, I don't want to say there's any hard and fast rules. Let's just talk about what works best for us.
Sure. Okay.
So when you start up Dota 2, I believe you're presented with a couple of different options for how you want to set up key bindings. You got your standard Q, W, E, and R for your abilities, and then, like, what is it, Z, that bottom row of keys, like Z, X, C, B, and N or whatever for your items.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, another option.
I like the items. Do they?
Yeah, they do.
You're right.
They default to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, another option where you can set your, like, camera movement to W, A, S, and D.
Right.
And versus edge panning with the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's talk about the advantages of both of those.
Let's talk about this. Okay, so the advantages of moving the camera of WASD.
Comfort, basically.
Comfort, and there really are none. Not to say there's any hard and fast.
Some people
rules
like
here.
It, but I would say most people at the professional level don't do that, and there tends to be more disadvantages than advantages, I think.
Yeah. I would agree.
I think with the mouse edge painting, by moving the mouse to the edge of the screen to scroll, it frees up your left hand to be more on the spot with your abilities,
right,
and with your items.
I would agree. But coming from the gaming background that I did, which was like first-person shooters, where you only have to have basically two or three buttons that you have to click.
Did it feel more natural to do that then?
It did. It felt more natural starting out with a WASD.
Interesting.
Getting and learning the gameplay from there.
Yeah.
And then transferring eventually to the edge panning. Just because I felt like I didn't have enough. I wasn't quick enough, like you said.
That's crazy to me, because I've been playing strategy games since I was, five or you
so. It's always been edge panning.
Yeah, I've just always
and I've
been
always
edge
played
panning,
the first person shooters.
Yeah, which is fine.
It's what it is.
Your mouse also weighs like a ton of bricks. So I don't know how you do that.
You have like the heaviest mouse I've ever felt.
I like it. It feels nice. It's solid.
It is solid. It's solid. A brick. That's why.
I could probably like kill a person with it.
You might be able to. Yeah. Put it in a sock and wing it at someone.
Yeah. So, and then it's easy to fall into a trap also with having your edge panning too slow, I think.
That is true.
So you want to make sure that's at a decent speed.
Yeah, I actually probably need to adjust mine. I've just kept mine at default and it is not fast enough, so I need to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sensitivity up a little bit.
Yep. I have not tweaked that yet.
Yeah. I would suggest it.
I also have my top row of keys, my F keys, kind of set up in a certain way. And I actually think the default key bindings are pretty decent, actually.
They are.
So I have F1 set up to be my hero at all times, which I actually don't use. I need to rebind that to something else.
Okay.
F2 is set to my courier. F3 is something. F4
perfect.
Opens the shop panel. F3 retrieves items.
Oh, okay, from the courier. Yeah.
Yeah. F5 is set to my quick buy.
Okay.
So if I shift click on something in the shop panel, it adds that to the quick buy. If I have something that I can purchase, I press F5 and it'll buy the first one.
Okay.
And then F6 is courier speed boost.
Oh yeah. That's important.
So I think I want to switch those around a little bit for them to be a little bit more intuitive.
Sure.
But they're in a somewhat okay spot.
Yeah.
And then I also have on each hero, if you set control groups, so you can select.
So play StarCraft.
Right. You can select.
Well, I mean, that's really a good analogy, though, or a good metaphor. Yeah, no, it is. I mean, that's really what it is.
What I like to do is I like to select my hero and hit control one, and it'll set. If I press one, it'll instantly select my hero, and if I double tap one.
It'll take you there.
It'll center the map onto my hero.
That's really perfect. Anybody who's played an RTS is going to be really comfortable with how that
totally.
Works.
So I like to do that. And then for certain heroes, like on Lone Druid, like it'll save your control groups.
Which is really nice.
So on Lone Druid, like I like one to be the Druid, I like two to be the Bear, and then three to be
both
of them selected at the same time.
Yeah.
So obviously you can extrapolate that to other heroes.
Right. Yeah, there's an option in there that it selects all units that you control that isn't your hero.
Correct.
Which
select
is nice.
All other units.
Yeah, all other units.
Yeah, which is a nice button to bind as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you guys? Do you guys have any other tips or any key binds that you guys like to use?
I actually stick with the default control group for the most part, and then I do the binding of the hot groups or
that's
control
really
groups
nice.
With the control and 1, 2, 3, etc. But that's about it. So I think it feels pretty natural for me. I've played some RTS, used to be a pretty big Warcraft 3 player, and it falls right in there. So
I like to set up my items so that it's always I have items consistently in the same place.
Right.
So
I do that. That's a good tip.
Yeah. I like to put, at the start of the game, for example, I usually buy tangos and a healing salve. So I'll put the tangos on Z and the salve on X, and then eventually look to replace my tangos with like a magic stick
or a mechanism or something.
Or a mech. And then I always put my boots on C.
Classic.
Unless it's tranquil boots.
I still would put it in the same spot, actually, believe it or not. I always put my boots in the exact same item slot, so
Yeah, whatever works for you. So
it does.
Usually, I think the key is get a system and get consistent with it.
Yeah,
exactly. I agree.
And what I've found is useful is, like, when I buy a Blink Dagger, Force Staff, anything like that, I have the mouse buttons, and I've binded some of my item to the mouse buttons to where it can be quickly, and I found that that is very helpful for myself.
Nice.
So it just like
That's click a good idea. Yeah, I have like four buttons on the side of my
mouse.
You
have like 18 buttons there, man.
I use none of them.
You should probably do something with some of those buttons.
Yeah, you might want to try it.
It is adding extra weight.
What do you put on there,
I guess?
Like a Blink Dagger.
Okay,
that's what I found is the most effective. Force Staff, like a Veil, like something that I'd be using right before an attack.
It's basically anything you really want that active handy.
Right. Yeah. And plus, my right hand is a quicker reaction than my left, so...
Okay, that's fair.
Just with, nerve weirdness.
Right, you do have weird nerves.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Okay, anything else, gentlemen, about key bindings?
Nope, seems like a pretty boring topic overall.
I have my standard A for attack and denying, S for stopping.
Mine's all weird, so I'm not going to go over like what my actual keys are because it is.
You should just reset it back to
default. Let me ask you. You guys watch a lot of pro games. Are there any pros that you guys know have really strange key bindings that you'd think would be interesting?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. This is something I've always wanted to.
I thought
you
would be all over this.
I've never been able to find out.
Yeah.
All right.
All I know is Dendi has really long fingers.
Yeah.
I feel really disappointed now. Thanks.
I know a friend of the show, Chris Connery, said there was a league player that played at like a professional level using like a locked camera screen where like it always centers on your hero for like a year. So like I don't think he was able to like click anywhere else on the mini map to see what's going
on
anywhere else.
Yeah. Okay. That's the kind of thing I wanted to know about.
Yeah.
So we just have the weird guy with the hand napkins and that's about it.
Yeah.
Right. You got to keep those hands from getting sweaty between matches.
If it's a problem, it's a problem.
Hey, you know, it's true.
I mean, I don't do this, but...
No, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably need to.
Right.
Tactical pause.
All right, so let's wrap up the show, guys.
Let's kick her in.
Yeah, check us out on the web at welikedota.com. We're We Like Dota on Twitter.
We haven't apologized a while for the show. I think that's necessary. So we're sorry for everybody who watched... For all those on Twitch who are like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, seriously.
We tried to add disclaimers that we don't know what we're talking about and that
maybe
we're
should
not
put
professionals.
It in the headphones.
We should probably put
headline.
It in the header,
header.
So those who are saying, what the heck are these guys talking about? You're right. We don't know.
Yeah,
but that's
we don't
the whole
know.
Point.
It's okay.
We are noobs at Dota 2 and we're talking about Dota 2 and we're just
because we're having fun.
We're just kind of here having fun. So again, we apologize if you came here looking for useful information because there's nothing to learn.
We got nothing.
We got nothing to learn. But thanks for teaching us something. So I appreciate it.
That's true.
No, that's true.
It always is nice to learn.
Exactly.
So before you interrupted me, you can find We Like Dota on Twitter and YouTube. You can find our subreddit at reddit.com/r/welikedota. And that's kind of the hub of...
Yeah, that's really where you want to go to get hooked in. If you're interested in joining our community or hanging out or finding friends to play with, whatever it might be.
The one thing I will say is we do have a nice community of people who are learning to play the game
as well.
So
if you're a jerkle, don't come.
Yeah, really. Don't need you. So, no, we do have a good group of people who are really
trying to learn the game
together, have been really friendly with each other. And I think, you know, that maybe is hard to find sometimes in the MOBA space. So to have a group of people who are just really trying to get better at the game and enjoy the game and who are looking for people to play
teach
with.
In a friendly
this
way.
This is a great place to learn. It's been a really positive experience for me so far. And I think for most of our listeners, they would agree. And then what's going on with the league thing? Are we...
We're not sure yet.
But we've got some interest there.
As of last week, we're still gauging interest. It's looking like people are pretty interested.
But it's been a week since last week, Brian. What's happened since
then? Yes, it has
been. Let's cast vision here, Brian. Cast vision.
Okay. Well, basically, think of your local bowling league.
Perfect. Okay.
Right.
That's what I want the We Like Dota League to be.
Okay.
Basically, just... getting a team of people in the We Like Dota community, or if you're not part of the We Like Dota community, post on our subreddit and say that you're interested in, you know, forming up a team or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I think we're looking for a league where we play, we would have like one night a week where there's matches going on.
Right.
And we're not entirely sure on format yet, whether you'd be playing every week or...
every other.
I think at this point, we're just trying to figure out how many people are interested, and then we'll work around that.
So. I think we're looking for a minimum of four teams.
Right, I would say minimum.
And to preface this is really low to average skilled players. This is not a, hey, I'm ready to be on the verge of being a professional player. This is people who just want to have fun playing with an organized team and learn to get better at the game with that team.
Yeah.
You have our highest MMR.
I am the best player here, and I am awful at the game. I couldn't win a game with TA in 8 games.
2,500?
I'm like about 2,600 MMR. 2,600. So, yeah.
So yeah,
which is a lot higher than me.
Which is a lot higher than you guys. And it's not, again, that's, I think that's maybe
slightly. Hey, I'm at like 2.3 or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm maybe slightly above.
I'm like 1,800.
We're probably close to being average players at Dota.
Yeah.
Which is better than 4 million people, so that's something. But
Yeah,
no, that's true.
But for the other 4 million of you guys listening here, why are you guys here? You shouldn't even be here. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah, we have nothing to offer to you.
Right.
But you're welcome to listen.
You're welcome.
Absolutely welcome. You're invited, but
gosh,
what are you doing?
The things that we stand for on this show, you guys are just saying, go away.
We've been doing that since day one.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you're nice, you're more than welcome to listen. Ben,
if you're a jerk, you can too. I don't care.
Ben, I just want to point out.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, good point.
I just want to point out, there was a very nice person by the name of Truth Seeker who left a very wonderful comment on our WeLikeDota.com website.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
He says, hey, guys, I just wanted to say that I've been listening to your podcast from the beginning and really enjoy it.
Aww.
I love that you have fun, that you try your best, and that you're informative as well as humble. We know that you don't know everything, but we enjoy spending time with you figuring it all out.
Wonderful.
Please keep up the good work and bring back Food of the Week. Finally, somebody loves Food of the Week.
Somebody's on board with it. That's great.
Yeah, if we haven't done it in like 10 weeks.
We got to bring it back.
Okay.
He says he misses it. And also, and he's calling you out specifically.
I'm getting called out. Oh, watch out.
I wish I had like some sort of sound effect to play this when
we do need some like.
Hey, where's the soundboard with that?
For somebody calling Ben out. Also, please tell Ben not to go down too hard on the show. Be proud of what you're achieving, which is probably about 90% of the work that I do, and you just take advantage
right.
of it.
So
we're just riding your coattails, Brian.
Yeah, and that's fine.
But I'm supposed to be proud of what I'm achieving, is what it's. That's how I'm reading that.
You are. That is what Truth Seeker is.
I am
is
proud
writing.
Of that. Thank yes. you, Truth Seeker.
But no, thanks a lot for that comment.
No, thank you for the kind words in all seriousness.
Yeah, it's honestly a lot of fun to do the show with you guys, and I love hanging out on a weekly basis.
Right.
And that's the whole point, right?
We just talk about Dota, even though we don't know what the heck we're talking about.
Not at all.
And we have fun with it.
Right, and we've met some really cool people with that.
We've met some really cool
it's
people.
It's been cool, yeah.
So
it's well worth it.
All right, everybody. That's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We're out.